It's 12 o'clock. It's time once again for Radio Bible Study, and we welcome you to our study today. This program is brought to you each weekday by the Church of Christ at Embry Hills. This is David Tan speaking as we continue our study of the book of James. We appreciate your comments and your questions. We have had some calls. It had occurred to us that all the people got when they called the number here at the church building for now was a recording, since Sewell Hall, who was on the program for so long, is now in England preaching the gospel, and we were still giving this program, but there's nobody here to answer the phone at the time. But if you care to call my own home phone, I'll be glad to talk with you, or I can refer you to one of the elders of the church here. Or you can call here and leave a message for someone here to return your call. The call here at our office is 455-8412. If you're to care to call me at my office up in Roswell, it's 992-2097. And now to our study. We're talking in James chapter 4, verses 11 and 12 right now, about speak not against one another, brethren. He that speaketh against a brother or judgeth his brother speaketh against the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judgest the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Only one is the lawgiver and judge, even he who is able to save and to destroy. But who art thou that judgest thy neighbor? Well, we introduced our thoughts yesterday about the attitude that we're to have one another. 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, even deals with this matter of what love will prompt, and that love will do good and believe good about our brother. If you care to turn with me and read with me a few verses here, let's go down to verse 4 as it describes love, that love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not, love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not its own, is not provoked, taketh not account of evil, rejoiceth not in unrighteousness. Did somebody ever come to you with a tale about somebody you didn't like, and you just rejoiced that this person had been caught in doing something that was evil? You rejoiced in their misfortune, said, "Oh, that they certainly got what they deserved." Oh, love rejoiceth not in unrighteousness. That's not a righteous attitude. But rather, love rejoiceth in the truth. Has somebody ever come to you and said some good thing about someone that you consider your enemy? You say, "Well, I certainly find that hard to believe." No, that's not the right attitude. Love beareth all things, believeth all things. That is, we want to believe what is good and truth, and we hopeth all things. We want to put the best construction, the best motives on what everybody else says. Love endureth all things. You see, because love never fails. And so if we have love for our brethren, we're not going to speak against them. We're not going to judge them. Now, if a person needs to be corrected, you know, we find James doing that and Paul doing this, to correct a brother in love. But this is done in a spirit of helpfulness, not in a spirit of condemnation. See, if we judge the law, then we're not a doer of the law, we're a judge. And there's only one who has this right, and that is God, the one who is able to save and to destroy. And who do we think we are to take the place of God in this sense of judging our neighbor? Now, the Bible says that we are to judge. It says, Christ said that we are to judge righteous judgment. And I think that you know the difference between a condemnatory judging and judging righteously in trying sincerely to help someone to overcome a fault or a weakness, rather than simply judging to condemn. And then it comes on the latter part of the chapter, verses 13 through 17. Come now, you that say, today or tomorrow we will go into this city and spend a year there and trade and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. What is your life? For you are a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall both live and do this or that. but now you glory in your vauntings. All glorying is evil. To him therefore that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin." We could talk for a long time on these verses. There's a lot of thought there, much meaning. So, it's sort of a challenge to you. Or you say you've got big plans for tomorrow? Come on now, you that say, "Oh, today or tomorrow we're going to go into the city. We'll spend a year there and trade and get gain." My friend, you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. Now, he's not teaching here that we should not make plans. But it's the idea of putting off, I believe, the good things that we want to do until tomorrow. All of our intentions, all our plans for the future. You know, the old expression is, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And how many people have I known who intend to do something tomorrow? Oh, I'm going to start on a diet tomorrow. Well, you know, the problem is, tomorrow never comes. Did that ever occur to you? Today is today. Today is not tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. And that's about the way some people look at it. And every day when the new day rolls around, well, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it next week. I'll do it next month. I'll do it next year. I remember Felix back in Acts, what, about chapter 24, where he was talking to Paul after Paul had preached to him concerning righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. And Felix was terrified, and he said, "Go thy way for this time, and when I have a convenient season, I will call thee unto me." But that convenient season never came. Tradition tells us that Felix was destroyed in the eruption of Mount Vesuvius when he was visiting in the city of Pompeii. And for all that we know, he died without God and died without a hope in this world or in the world to come. The convenient season didn't come. He did not take advantage of his opportunity today. See, God has not promised us anything with respect to the future life, that is, future life on this earth. We don't have the promise of the rising or the setting of another sun. We don't have the promise of the next hour. We have the promise of right now. You don't know what your life will be on the morrow. James goes on to say, "What is your life? Well, you're a vapor that appeareth for a little time." Consider the vastness of eternity, and consider even a long life on this earth, 80, 90 years. When you compare that with eternity, what is it? Well, it's a little puff of steam. Is your boiling water for your tea or your coffee, and this vapor comes up out of the spout of the kettle, and it soon dissipates, and it's gone. It vanishes away. So is your life. But rather, he teaches our dependence upon God. In verse 15, you ought to say, if the Lord will, you know, if it's according to his will, why, we'll both live and do this or that. But now, you glory in your vauntings. See, it's not glorying in what we have done. It's not being thankful for what we have done. But we're glorying in what we're going to do. And he said, all such glorying is evil. To him, therefore, that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That's a serious matter to consider. There are things that you and I know that we should do, and we don't do them, and it's a sin. Now, there are some people who have the idea that as long as we refrain from doing evil, you know, say, well, I don't drink, and I don't smoke, and I don't commit adultery, and I don't steal, and I don't lie, and I don't cheat, and I don't, you know, do all of these things. And that's well and good. But what do you do? Such a person is a good person. But are they good for anything? My conclusion is that many such people are simply good for nothing. They're just good for nothing. They're good, but they're not good for anything. A righteous life is not only abstaining from evil, but it is exercising ourselves unto those things that are good and right that we know that we should do, that our life may be filled with good works, with the fruit of the Spirit. To him, therefore, that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Today is the day, my friend, not tomorrow. You remember in 2 Corinthians 6, verses 1 and 2, and working together with him, we entreat also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, at an acceptable time I hearkened unto thee, and in a day of salvation did I succor thee. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. If you know what you need to do to become a child of God, to become a Christian, to get your life straight with God, you need to do it now, today, not tomorrow. I beg you to think on these things. We're so appreciative of you listening to the program today. I want you to tune in tomorrow. This is Radio Bible Study, brought to you by the Church of Christ at Embry Hills. David Tant speaking. If you desire to call, leave a message here at the church office, 455-8412. If you'd like to call me and talk with me, call 992-2097. Thank you. Good day.